accession number 18463, reel 33.
Yeah, I think some of the company must have gone down the road, but we crossed over the road, my section, and I think the whole platoon did, in actual fact. And we went out onto the riverbed. It was very wide, a very, very narrow river, and not very deep at this particular place, with just a great pebbly area, I guess about 20, 30, 40 yards wide, something like that, and turned down level with the road, spreading out well. And the mortar began to drop the bombs just behind us. It was just as if he was hurrying us on, in actual fact. And I stayed out to the right of the section near the road so I could keep control of them and keep, you know, calling the old steady bit, because I never want anybody moving fast. And funny enough, I'd lost my pack, actually, when I'd been at the field ambulance. And there I found a pack, so I scooped that up. I think it must have dropped off a jeep or something like that. And I've got a pack back again, which is quite useful. And we went on slowly down, I guess it was 300 or 400 yards. I've got a photograph, actually, of it. And it's a little bit different now, but because the river was very shallow at that time. And we went on down, moving along fairly slowly, with the old mortar bombs dropping about 20 yards behind. And the firing mainly had ceased now, because I think they couldn't see us from wherever they'd been firing from. And I saw the adjutant and the assistant adjutant standing on the edge watching us. So I just quickly ran over to him and said to him, "Well, I'm not very keen on this retreating arc." And he said, "Keep on going, Corporal, keep on going, go on." And off I went, and off we went. But we could see down where they were getting back up onto the road again, there was a bit of a hold-up. And we would find out shortly why that was, because it was very, very steep and they couldn't clamber up the death. So I slowed them down a bit, and I think we nearly stopped. And just at that moment, there was a marquee out on the left-hand side, their big American marquee. And two black American soldiers ran out of this marquee over towards the road, across the river, and it looked just as if they were running on water. It was only about, I'd say, 9 inches or a foot deep or something like that. Just like these two guys with their big shoe packs were running across water, and there was a roar of laughter and a few shouts at them as they went. They didn't worry too much about us. They went off on their way. Gradually, as it began to ease down the end of the road, I moved them down to the bottom. We were the last in. We clambered up this vertical slope, pulling ourselves up with the bushes and things like that. Company commander was on the top there, and he was urging everybody to get over the road and get up the hill. And he said to me, "Get up, whatever happens, get on the top of the hill, up that slope, and get on the top there." And just at that moment, a great convoy of jeeps came through. This, I think, must have been the Australian battalion headquarters. Or it might have been, they'd found some abandoned jeeps, it might have been them, but there was just a single Aussie in each jeep, and they drove through it. And they stopped by us, as it happened, to give people a lift if they wanted it, but thank goodness only one bloke took the opportunity and went off with them, because, I mean, we were in the midst of a battle. Because what we hadn't realised, these North Korean irregulars, not Chinese troops, had been coming down through the village, and we didn't know this, but they were already on top of the hill that we were attacking. So in fact, we were going up. So in fact, we were attacking, although we didn't realise this at the time. Looking to the left, another company was going up the hill on the left-hand side here. Things have gone a little bit wrong here, because, I mean, the first company in should have occupied the foremost position, but they're not. They're moving back. And so the last company, which was us, should have gone through them to the rear. In fact, we're on the point. And the company commander's urging me to get across the road with my section. I'm the only one with him now. And get up. We had to clamber up another vertical thing. They cut a bit out for to build the road, and we pulled ourselves up the top here. Got up on top, and there's a fair bit of flak flying around us now. And began to climb up this hill. And we could hear an LMG up the top, firing away there, down the slope. You could tell it was an LMG, the sound. And the slope here was rock, and I can only describe it as shale, loose shale, and you couldn't get a grip on it. You had to try and get out to the rock and pull yourself up, and we're panted, and you could taste blood. It's such a terrible climb. And there's a steep rock face on the left-hand side, this slope going up, and the road and the hill drops away on the right-hand side, which is covered in trees. Got about halfway up, and there's the company commander's guard group is LMG man, Carol was his name, another good lad, and somebody else with him, I can't remember who it was, are firing down the hill, obviously shooting down at people trying to get up the hill. And we fight our way up to the top of the hill, not a breath left in us, and get to the top, and I think you would have collapsed. Whatever had happened, you'd have collapsed with exhaustion. We really were. You could sort of taste the blood in your mouth as if it was welling up from your lungs. And we paused there. We're on a little narrow ridge, like a knife edge. It's about 2 meters across and about 20 meters long, and it's overlooked by a much higher area, and it's all very rocky. Quite a number of trees and bushes around, and there's about 20, over 20 of us milling about on the top there, trying to get our sections together. Unfortunately, I can't see the platoon commander or any of platoon HQ, platoon sergeant. And suddenly, four platoon come literally bursting up through us with Chris Lawrence at their head, and they bear off left. That is going south, in actual fact. And there's very, very heavy machine gun fire from there. And it's I can't tell whether it's Vickers or Chinese Maxims, but it looks like the rest of the battalion is engaged behind us. We're looking down over the other side. There's a very, very deep slope, a very, very sharp slope there, and a deep riverbed, dry riverbed. And along this riverbed, there are rock soldiers going, all very well armed, looking very efficient, funny enough, with packs on their backs, which is unusual for what we've seen in the past. And they're holding a long air panel, longer than I've ever seen before. I would guess it was about 12 foot long, holding it up. But unfortunately, they're shooting at us from the hip. It doesn't worry us too much, but we say some rude words to them, and they sort of go out of sight. Turning round now, looking back down the slope which we've just come up, the company commander comes up, and he's absolutely exhausted because he's much older than us. And, well, I say much older, I guess he's 40, I don't really know how old he was. And we're all obviously in our 20s. He's very, very exhausted, and he's through his lungs, he's shouting, "Shoot down the hill, they're right behind me, shoot down the hill." And I call out to him, "Your LMG team's behind you, sir, they're behind you." And all he can say is, "Shoot, shoot, shoot." And discretion, unfortunately, is thrown to the winds, and most of us shoot straight out so that anybody down there, it'll go over their heads. We don't know if they're... Maybe they're dead. Maybe you've seen they're dead. And except for one chap who unfortunately shoots down, and we hear a shout. And it's the platoon sergeant been hit in the arm. Now, I can't say maybe we hit him. Maybe the enemy hit him because the other one or maybe two of them are wounded. I can't tell. They come up through us and go off in the direction of four platoon. Unfortunately, the three LMGs, had only fired one round. Now, that's not unusual. You just got to cock them and fire a few rounds and they'll start on automatic again. But I now see the platoon commander who has taken the LMG away from my chap, who knows more about it probably than he does, and is trying to clear the stoppage. So when he should be organising us, I guess it's one of those things, really. When you don't know what to do, you do something you do know what to do, and I guess he didn't know what to do. Anyway, I've got to do something. Beside me, Barnes is pulling a North Korean up the hill without thinking he's a South Korean, and there's quite a melee going on, and they're riding amongst us. And suddenly, Nikki shouts out to me, "Look, and he's pointing, and they're standing literally over the top of the platoon commander with a carbine and like a sweatband around his head, and they all wear a bandolier of carbine. It's a sort of thing the rocks like to do, carbine cartridges over their shoulders in a machine gun belt, which they just tie. And he's saying, "Me South Korean, me South Korean." And suddenly we notice the barrel is starting to lower. And Nick says, "Shoot the bastard, shoot the bastard." But before anything can happen now, there's a melee. There's a group of them up on the top, one or two, I don't know how many, are throwing grenades down on us, stick grenades. They really go off with a big bang and a black puff of smoke, but they don't fortunately do too much damage. Fortunately, they're shooting down as well, and the platoon commander is shot in the leg, somewhere in the leg or the bottom or somewhere around that area, and he's out of it. And I look around, and everybody seems to be looking at me, so I've got to do something quick. So I say to Ken Sutton, "You hold the end, I'll hold the ridge, and Ken and Bill, get up the top there and clear them off the top there." But before we can really get organised, I'm not even sure if Bill Everett even heard me. He may not have heard me. Nicky again shouts to me, "Behind you, behind you." And I look round, and there's a chap in civilian clothes, no hat, with a Thompson submachine gun, no butt. And he's got us covered. I guess he expects us perhaps to stick the hands up, but there's 20 of us, so there's no chance of that. I go flat on my stomach, and he fires a whole magazine. Unfortunately, he's got no button at this Thompson, and they've got a tendency to rise up to the right. So most of the shots go over the top. Most of the people have got their back to them. I know we don't know this till afterwards. A lot of the bedding rolls, which are like literally across the small of your back, he hits them in the bedding rolls and things like that, and in the pack and places like that. And we, as far as I know, we only had one chap wounded, although I don't know that at the time, and I don't think he did either. Anyway, he, having fired his magazine, turns around and runs, and I'm a fairly good shot. And I fire a couple of quick shots at him, I just see his head. I didn't know it, but actually I'd hit him twice in the head, but I didn't know that at the time. And we've now got to do something. The machine gun fire over the other crest, which we cannot see, unfortunately, is getting heavier and heavier, as if four platoon have now got engaged in the battle. And in fact, of course, they have, but we can't see this. And the only way I can see is that there's a path down into the riverbed. And I say, call to Bill, "Down and along." And he hears me and sort of waves. And he does the right thing. He gets his two IC. He's got a two IC, fortunately, a Lance Corporal Bethel. And he sets him off down. And he brings up the rear of his section. I don't know what order the sections went then. I guess probably Ken Sutton probably went after that. Unfortunately, this path, each side of this path is thick gorse. It's been cut through thick gorse, and they can't go left. They can't force their way through the gorse. So, unbeknown to me, they go right down into the riverbed, into the dry riverbed. And I really don't know. Things get a little bit confused here. My next memory is of, presumably, I guess I'd gone to see if we could still get through. I've still got, most of my section are still with me. Some have gone, most of them are still with me. And one or two others, in actual fact. And I go down and try and get up and head up over this ridge to see what's going on in the 4 platoon area, but it's flying about there a little bit. I turn round, and Barnes is firing down the hill which we came up, and shouting out to me, you bloody cowards, you should be here fighting," all words to that effect, something like that. And I'm saying to him, "F off, Barney, F off, hell of it." And he vanishes from my view, and at that second, two heads pop up right on the end of the thing, and we start exchanging fire, and it's going past my ears. And I'm only firing single shots. I never fire automatic. I can fire single shots when it's automatic, so I'm popping at them. And the ridge, little ridge, is empty now, so I can go. I'm the last one off. I have to be the last one off. So I really don't know what which way to go. If I go over the hill, I guess I'm going to go into this heavy machine gun fire. So I run towards them, firing single shots to keep their heads down on the end and on the right-hand side, hoping that the guys up on the top of the hill won't throw some grenades down on me or shoot. As I run forward, I get to where the path goes down, and I can see now, this is the first time I've noticed it, it's solid. If you get into it, anybody standing at the top can shoot straight down into your back, no trouble. So I go on another few yards, and there's a sort of a slope, gully slope, very, very steep. And I jump, literally jump into this, and it's shale. And I just fall backwards onto my back, and I'm sliding down, and I can hear somebody else, something or somebody else sliding down on my left-hand side, and I guess that's a Chink or a Korean. And hanging onto my stem, I'm going down. It's funny the thoughts that go through your mind. All I can imagine is that it's ripping the bottom out of me best new trousers that I was going to do the Guard of Honour thing, one of the Guard of Honour in Hong Kong. But I land in a heap at the bottom, heap of stones and brush and me, swing round with my stem to shoot this guy who's come down with me, and find it's not one of my sections, one of the other sections. Goodness, I don't know why or what or how he remained behind. But he's still got all his equipment on. So I get out then into the gully and tell him to keep tight underneath the hill so that he's reasonably safe from the people up on the hill. Because I'm concerned now, it's a very, very deep gully, very, very sharp sides. And I'm concerned because if they're on the other side, if they're up on this gully and they start throwing grenades in, well, we've had it, there's no chance. We can't see anybody up the gully because there's a slight bend round and it's flying over us now. And we start moving up the gully, and the poor chap on the inside, the rocks are very, very big boulders. And I say to him, drop your pack, which he does. And he makes a bit of a better speed then. And we're going up here expecting to be shot at any moment. And the shots are going over our heads. And I realise that I don't think they're shooting at us. They're shooting at something ahead. We come up to a bend in the stream, and I look round the bend, and there's the rest of the platoon literally milling about there in a dead-end gully. And there were three, maybe four people standing round in a circle as if they're trying to protect somebody who I can see is on the ground. I'm running up, shouting out to them, move on, because, you know, they're obviously such a big target. And they don't move. They don't move at all. They just stand around this chap on the ground. Get up close, and I see it's Jack Oates. I've been hit in the back, and he's kneeling there. And apparently, I didn't know this, it's Bill Everett, and about three of his section are standing around sort of trying to protect him with their bodies. And he said, apparently, when he got ill, he said to Bill, don't leave me, Bill, don't leave me. And of course, Bill isn't going to leave him now. So I dash around the front of him, and I'm looking down at him, and I see his eyes roll straight away up. So all I can see is the whites of his eyes. And he slops forward with his head sort of onto my knees and boots. And I say, he's dead, move, 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 and try and get them all moving on. All the wounded are there, every one of the wounded, and they've all got a couple of guys helping them. So they move off up a fairly steep slope, but through some bushes, under some cover. And Bill takes, and I think maybe Ken Sutton was with him, I can't be sure of this, but Bill certainly is leading, takes his section out of cover. And I can see what he's doing. He's drawing the fire away from the wounded. And obviously I've got to follow him because, I mean, you can't, he's a very brave man, in fact. They all were. He goes out. He goes out a bit too far, unfortunately, and there's a log, like a waterfall, I guess it would be if the rain was pouring in over the paddy, but there are about four big logs, and it steps back about 2 foot, another four, 2 foot, another four, maybe more. Then they start to climb up these logs. They're about halfway up, I guess, by the time I get there, and we're clambering up. There's a chap beside me, and the shots are flying all over us now. And it was a bit unpleasant, to be quite honest, a bit frightening. In fact, very, very frightening. In fact, I was terrified, quite frankly. And the chap on my left puts his hand on the log, and a shot goes straight through it. And we get up to the top, And I'm sure we're all praying for to be saved, as you always do in circumstances like this. And get up and over the top, and we start going forward now in single file. There's about 3, 4, maybe 5 yards between people, and on the left hand side the wounded are in a sort of a blob, but they're protected really from the people that are shooting down on us. Ahead I can see a house, and just going round the right hand side of this house and sort of vanishing round over a ridge and down a corner are 2 or 3 of the rocks, so they haven't got very far ahead of us. I can't tell at the moment if they're the rocks or maybe some of the battalion. They could be the battalion. So I decide to follow this group up. And it's a funny thing then. A most strange feeling came over me. And I felt like I was walking in a tunnel of safety. And everything was going round me. And I knew I couldn't be here. I was quite safe. As long as I stayed in this tunnel, I was safe. And suddenly from our left, which is where, in fact, 4 platoon were. I didn't know that at the time. There's a burst of machine gun fire, and I turn left, and there's Chris Lawrence standing up. You can't ever mistake him. He's about 6 foot something tall. And I say some rude words to them, and, you know, why are they shooting at us? And they stop. So all we have to do now is just turn to our left, and we go in extended line across towards 4 platoon, with the wounded and their helpers ahead of us, up to where there's a path. We gather on the path and move along a little bit. And we've got two now. We've got the platoon commander. He can't walk. Most of them can walk. He can't walk. So we've got a couple of guys, one on each side of him, literally sort of giving him a chair lift. And he says to me something like, I'd be dead if it wasn't for Ward. He's carried me out on his back. And I must be honest, I had no time to think about wounding or anything like that, for that matter. Ward apparently had got him on his back and carted him down the hill, and now there were 2 of them helping. And he's in a bad way. He says to me, I'm hit bad. I saw the bone fly up. And I said, oh, no, it didn't. It wasn't bone. Later I find out it was probably his map, actually bits of his map that flew up in the air and made him think the bone was flying. Anyway, I get my LMG man's helping him and Wardy. And so I take the LMG off a chap and go to give it to Charlie Myatt, who was a reservist, very quiet, lovely fella. Unfortunately, he got a weak bladder. He's the chap who used to have to tease him to pee into his water bottle on the move and things like that on the backs of the trucks. And I said to Charlie, could you take the Bren? And he said, don't think so. Points to his arm, and he's got a shot straight through his arm here. I can't see any blood, so I get my carbine bayonet and slice it open. And there's a slice literally across the muscle of his arm there, which you could have laid your finger in. It was a very large thing, but it's not bleeding. It's absolutely dry. So I said to him, well, we'll keep moving because it's not bleeding at the moment. If it does, shove your field dress and just hold it on. And we gradually get ourselves sorted out. Start to move up then to where I can see the company commander and 4 platoon just on the ridge there. We go along a little bit where there's a track leading up. But by this time, 5 platoon are coming down the hill. Now, they're led by their acting platoon sergeant, a corporal, regular corporal who I know. And he said, we're moving back. We're going back through C company, and the whole B company will pass through C and hold on the end. So I'm a bit thin on the ground by this time. And we start, they go on, and they're moving a fair old rate. So everybody's organised, and we start following up behind them. And in fact, they get right out of here. We can't see them anymore. I'm a bit confused because looking back, I can see that 4 platoon don't seem to be following us, and neither does the company commander. So we go on down. And I can see C Company up on the hills here, digging in as quickly as they can. I guess they're about half dug in by this time. And we're making a fairly slow move. And in fact, I didn't know it at the time, but the platoon commander tells my LMG man to throw his pouches away because he's obviously a very tiny chap and he's sweating a bit. So unfortunately, we've lost half of our light machine gun magazines in these pouches. Go up round, there's 2 or 3 houses, we turn a bend, and there's the RSM waiting for us. always frightened of the RSM, what's he going to say? So he calls us forward, he deals with the wounded, gets them off to the RAP, and tells the lads to sit around there, and calls Bill Everett and myself forward, and we have to follow him back down the path to where the houses are. And I must be honest, I thought we were in for a bit of a telling off for leaving Jack Oates. Incidentally, I forgot to say, Barnes, when Barnes came in, he'd said, Ken Sutton's had it, he's hit in the head. And so I couldn't worry about him. If you're hit in the head, you, as far as I could see, you were gone. So we're now down to myself and three Lance Corporals. That's the whole directive staff. Anyway, he takes us back down to a house, and he's got an enormous great pair of binoculars there, and he's looking, and he said, I can't see anybody up there. Dead as a dodo. And I said, well, you're looking in the wrong place. They're on the end of the hill, you know, on the hill which we're standing beside. They're on the end of that hill there. That's where the fight's gone on. And he doesn't sound too pleased with us. And he suddenly said, how many rounds have you fired? Well, Bill's got a rifle, still got a rifle. And I forget how many, about half a bandolier. I guess he'd fired about 25, 30 rounds, which surprised us, I must say. I look in my pouches and I've fired 2.5 magazines. I can't really believe it, really. I never filled the magazines up with more than 20 because the springs were going weak by this time. So I've fired about, well, I don't know, 40, 50 rounds, something like that. And to their astonishment, he said, well done, boys, well done, or well done, lads, or something like that, well done, lads. Because I suppose the firing of the ammunition was made him decide that we hadn't actually just sort of run away. Anyway, we go back and he tells me to organise the platoon, take command of it, and take it back up to B Company, who are still where we'd previously seen them. Five platoon, acting platoon commander, I guess he is now, my corporal friend, he came over and said, we've got some ammunition and we've had air share. If you you fill up from this box, we've got it off the MMGs. The carriers are just over there, and so is Battalion HQ. Main Battalion HQ is there. And we dish out the rounds, but unfortunately, of course, my LMG man, who's now got his Bren back again, hasn't got any pouches, so I take my pouches off and shove the bits and pieces in my pocket. And also, I notice he's got the platoon commander's 4.5 pistol, always a valuable commodity that is, so I confiscate that, which doesn't please him too much, I guess. And so I've got my belt and my 45 now, and we organise now into three small sections. In fact, one of them is really a section on its own. It's about one Lance Corporal's got about six men, one's got about four or five, and Bill's got about seven, something like that. That the two really are combined, the two smaller sections. Bill's on his own. I point Bill straight away, platoon sergeant, because you must have a platoon sergeant in case you get hit. And we begin to move off back down the road, the way that on the opposite side of the hill to watch to which we had withdrawn. And it's quite a scene there. There's the RAP on the left with the wounded being treated. Oh, just before we move off, one of the chaps comes up and says that he's ricked his ankle and he can't walk, and I'm a bit dubious whether he has or not, but it's no point in arguing. So I turf him off to the RAP, and we're off down the road. I'm in the front there, feeling like king, with me 45 and me pack on me back, which I'd found earlier on. I've got a pack back again, and with the signaller just behind me, old Will Wilson, his name, and KSLI. And we're marching off down the road, and we come to the about halfway down, to on halfway back. Mortars are on our right, far and away, and there seems to be some chaps up on the little ridge there, but I don't know who they were. On a bit, and suddenly a lorry zooms past us, an American lorry. If we notice, there's three